It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our recent studies, we've been walking through the dispensations. And right now, we're getting ready to go into dispensation number 7, and that is the tribulation period. As we think of this, we look around us and we see that there's many things that are wrong with our world today. Well, things have always been wrong because the world lies in the hands of the wicked one. In other words, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He's here, and he's been giving mankind trouble ever since the Garden of Eden. But thank God one day that's going to be over with. He's going to be taken and cast into the lake of fire, where he'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever. And there's no end of when he will be there, because he's going to be there forever, forever, and forever. And sad that so will individuals, human beings, be there, because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But right now, let's look at dispensation number 7, the tribulation. And by the way, you can go to one of our websites and you can listen to these programs once again about dispensations. These addresses of our websites will be given to you at the end of the program. When 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Well, these are perilous times, and these are the last days that we're living in. And remember, the church, that's you and I who are living right now during the church age, or the church dispensation, we're going to be gone before the tribulation starts. But at the same time, there's still perilous times right now. There's still troublesome times. But when the dispensation of the tribulation starts, it's going to be something that is worse than any other time that has ever been or ever will be. And I'm just so happy that I won't be here, because I'll be with the Lord. And I pray that you know him as Lord and Savior. You too won't be here if you've trusted him. You will not go through the tribulation period. We've talked about this, how that we will be raptured, will be caught up to be with our Lord and Savior as he comes back and says, "Come up hither." But right now, we're told to know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This should be no, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that things are really bad right now in our world, because the Bible says perilous times shall come. But it's going to get worse. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Well, there are certain things that had to take place, and they did take place before the tribulation starts. And I see, first of all, that about the death of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." We keep reading in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus Christ knew no sin. He was sinless, but he was made sin for us. He took upon himself the sin of the whole world. And I believe that of all the suffering that he did, I know he suffered as no man has ever suffered, with the beatings and the blood loss as he was bleeding, not only on the cross, but before he even got to the cross, he was bleeding. I know that was terrible, but I believe the worst suffering that he did, that he had, was when he took upon himself the sin of the whole world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." I'm an unjust person, but Christ died for me. The just died for me, the unjust. It goes on to say in 1 Peter 3:18 that he, that's Jesus, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Thank God Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave, but he came out. He came out of that grave. He was raised. Right now, he's seated at the right hand of God. He's at the throne of God. He's on the throne of God. He's there because he is God. But he's there, and he gives all of those who will trust him as Savior, eternal life. Well, the death of Christ did happen, and we also see that Christ was in the lower parts of the earth, according to the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Remember, I said he's in heaven right now. He ascended up far above all heavens, and he's there now, according to the Scriptures. Well, a man by the name of John Calvin, he was a five-point Calvinist. And he said of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9 concerning Christ's descent into the lower parts of the earth, he says this, "It was when Christ was raised from our lowest condition on earth and received into heavenly glory." Now keep in mind that John Calvin was a five-point Calvinist. He believed that a person is saved by God just simply saying, "You're saved." Not for that person to say, "Lord, come into my heart and I receive you as Lord and Savior." It's the fact that he taught, and there's those teaching this today, that you're saved because God says you're saved. And you're going to hell because God says you're going to hell, and that's to individuals. Well, the Bible says that to as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. And that means that anyone can be saved, not just God going around pointing out individuals to be saved, as John Calvin has said in the past. Of course, he's been dead many years. And I pray that he did get saved. One day we'll know for sure, because we'll be in heaven. And I pray that he's there. I don't want anybody going to hell. But he taught wrong. God does not choose certain individuals to go to heaven and others to go to hell. He says, "Whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, the thing I want you to notice here is that John Calvin said this about the descent of Christ in the lower parts of the earth. Again, he said, "It was when Christ was raised from our lowest condition on earth and received into heavenly glory." And then there's another one, Albert Barnes. Many people read Albert Barnes, and he was considered a biblical scholar. Well, Albert Barnes, and some people don't even realize this, he was a four-point Calvinist. But unlike John Calvin, he believed in the free will of man. Barnes said of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, "Christ's descent into the lower parts of the earth meant this, to the lowest state of humiliation." Do you understand what these men are saying? They're saying that he did not go into the lower parts of the earth itself. And then we read of Adam Clark. He said of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9, he said, "The meaning of the apostle appears to be this. The person who ascended is the Messiah, and his ascension plainly intimates his descension, that is, his incarnation, humiliation, death, and resurrection." Well, these men, considered great Bible scholars, did they actually go by the Bible? Well, this is what the Bible says about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, about him, about Christ going into the lower parts of the earth. So let's read that. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Ephesians 4, 9 says, "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Now, I'm going to read another verse, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, where it says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then Psalm 16:10 says, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, we could look at that word hell, and we could say that some people translate that as the grave. Well, we know that he did not remain in the grave, but notice it says that so that he would not see corruption. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ did go into paradise. And I believe he went there and he preached. I believe he brought comfort to those who had died, who had trusted him as Lord and Savior, trusted God to save them. We know that the beggar was there, and the rich man was in the other compartment known as hell, where he was suffering. But here was Lazarus. He was being comforted in paradise. And I believe that's where Christ was. He was preaching and he was teaching there to these folks in paradise. But I also believe that the ones in hell heard him preaching as well. And I believe that they realized then that they should have, well, they already knew they should have trusted Jesus as Savior because they were suffering. But he wanted them to understand that he was God, that he was the Savior, and that he was going to rise from the dead. And he did 3 days later after he was buried in that old tomb, that old rock tomb that he was buried in. He came out of that tomb alive because he rose from the dead. Well, once again, certain things took place and has taken place before the tribulation starts. And we also see the resurrection of Christ really had to take place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4 says, And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So he had to rise from the grave because the scriptures said he would. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, And delivered or declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. By the resurrection from the dead, he rose from the dead. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now Peter went on to preach a great message on the day of Pentecost, and Acts 2:22 says, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you, by miracles, and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of. In other words, death could not hold him. In Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 31, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David knew, even then, that Christ would rise from the dead. Trust him today as your Lord and Savior. And if you do know him, you need to be telling others that Jesus saves.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.